There is rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns are toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
Avenge me! Avenge me!
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all point bulletins. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order. A new world order. A new world order.
Attention!
The government is an emergency. Repeat, an emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspaper, the TV station, the gas station, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Bats, Jones, Bats, Jones.
Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Well, not completely different.
You broadcast.
Oh, see, there's my computer. It's telling me not to be sure to follow you broadcast, so I am. I got to turn it off here. I am Dutch Jones. It is Monday, the 2nd of August, 2010. This is a live show. Live as in I'm here. It's not a recording. It's not Memorex. We are back in the Batcave, the Tora Bora Tunnel, whatever you want to call it. And we're back on satellite. Friday was a complete disaster. We went someplace with DSL, and every time the phone rang, it disconnected us, which is funny because the phone had nothing to do with DSL. What we found out after hours of checking was that the wireless antenna and the wireless phone were on the same frequency. It was like 4.8 gigahertz or something. So whenever someone answered the phone in the building, it knocked the Wi-Fi offline. So it never happened before from that location. We've used that location frequently. It's just where it's not a new phone, not a new Wi-Fi transmitter, just some of the usual weirdness, unusual weirdness that tends to, you know, just plague this show. I spent several hours today on the phone with the DSL people. You guys have been following that. It's just a nightmare. I don't know where their phone center was. It wasn't India. It was some inner city ghetto somewhere. And I could not, for the life of me, understand the first five people I spoke with. Finally, I got somebody that wasn't speaking Ebonics, explained to them what it was, and they launched some investigation to find out why we haven't, you know, they keep giving us the wrong address, and, you know, typical. If you want to contact us, the easiest way is through the chat room at ubroadcast.com, ubroadcast.com. Just go there and then type in Dutch Jones, and you'll get another feed there. Now, I know people are listening to this on mirror sites. People are picking it up and redistributing it. Thank you very much. You have my complete permission to do that. You may take my recordings of programs in their entirety and retransmit them all you want. If you need to edit them, contact us, please. Contact us at DutchJonesShow@yahoo.com. That's DutchJonesShow@yahoo.com. And I want to know what you're doing with it. We just don't trust people mixing up my words. I have a bad enough time putting my own foot in my own mouth. I don't need somebody to help me with it. I'm alienating a lot of people. It's funny. People where I'm at, it's growing smaller, but people that listen to this show and listen to the sermons from this church and listen to the studies that we do on Wednesday night, that's growing. Literally by the thousands because of the work of our archivist and other things. I mean, I can't believe how many times things are downloaded. But here, we're dwindling. But that's good because God trims the vine. When you're purifying the silver, you know, like the master, you know, skims the scum off. I'm looking at these people that are getting mad at me and leaving as scum. Is that an unchristian thing to say? I don't mean scum like their lives, but that's what it is. They're just not part of the purity of the process. And so thank you so much. Some of you guys listened to the half-hour show I was able to do on Friday. People were like, are you okay, Dutch? And I really appreciate that. And no, I'm not okay. I'm really actually kind of bummed over the attacks that Christians are taking in America. I'm specifically upset over... Let's just turn it down one. Or is that... Make it higher. How's that? No. You got like high or low. Loose fan issue is going on again here. But it's just sometimes it gets to me. I'm okay. I'm not giving up. I'm not taking the show off the air. I just needed a couple days to just sit somewhere where nobody could reach me. And you all know how that is. I mean, it was good. But I got a lot of good letters. I got a lot of good emails, phone contacts from you guys that are friends of the show. I am really amazed at the friendships I've built over the internet. I was one of those guys that used to mock these things. Oh, there's no way you can get to know anybody over the internet. Of course, I found my wife over the internet. I found this church, kind of over the internet. Actually, I just got lost. But I've used the internet to reach out. So you're just a good example of pressing the full crown rights of Jesus Christ into everything, even the internet. So thank you for all the kind words. Thank you for the prayer. Update, my foot's doing great. I haven't worn the brace for like 4 days now. I tried to run around a little bit today. And this fan is just making terrible noise. Let's try turning it off.
They're tossing it out that window.
Yeah, let's do that. And then, Anthea, will you turn that fan on your brother so he doesn't die over here? Just turn it that way. He's going to cry like he's got a big old... Is that... What is that? I thought that was a ball of sweat. That's just a giant zit on your forehead. Wow.
Another eyeball.
Yeah. All right, here, use this drill bit and pop that zit. But anyway, things are, they're just where they're at. I'm in the same boat all of you guys are in. Morally, physically, spiritually, we're all having our battles. You know, temptations are out there, struggles are out there. It would be so much easier just to can this radio thing and go get a real job. If I could find one. I was today scanning for jobs, and half of them require social security cards, permits, driver's licenses, all that stuff. And it's they're making it impossible for a guy to just make an honest living and take care of his family, aren't they? So counting my blessings, I'm thankful that Stacy's got that hard job. She comes home hobbling every day, being on her feet 7 hours a day. She likes to say eight, but I go, but you get a half hour for lunch and 2 15-minute breaks. Come on. You know, I used to work...
An hour for lunch.
So sometimes she gets an hour, too. When I was your age, when she's only like 3 or 4 years younger than me, I was working 12-hour days, sleeping in my car. But I'm very thankful to the Lord that we have that job, and we don't. They say they're going to lay her off on the 15th of this month, so we only get about 12 more days, 13 more days left. But we'll see. I told her to have faith, work hard, and maybe they'll keep her along and get rid of all the illegal aliens they hire. Well, it's not true. They're not illegals. They couldn't get a. Well, maybe they could get a county job. I don't know. But that's where we're at. So thank you for all that. Great emails over the weekend from Serbia. I don't know if Serbia's not really a nation, but the Serbian people. If you go to my Facebook page, just go to Facebook, put in Dutch Jones, you'll see where those guys, those militias, are posting up a lot of good stuff. Language barrier, obviously. I had a gentleman from Switzerland who listens email me today and just said that he said, we thought America was done. We didn't think there was anybody over there doing what you're doing, which I was obviously humbled by that, and I had to redirect him to like Liberty Tree Radio and Patriot Broadcasting Network and all the others and say, look, it's not just me. I'm but one little voice in the woods, so it's good to see, these other folks over there that are listening. Found out a guy who lives not too far from me, was born in the same town as me in Massachusetts, and is right up here in the high desert. So, there's some kinship there, and it's just nice to know that we're all out pulling in the same direction. And it's not just liberty is not just an American concept. It's a global Christian concept, and it's good. Well, let me see here. Let me do something really to make sure I got to answer something here. We be live. Let me do this. Control V. See if it does it. I'm trying to let people know that the show is live right now. Boy, I got some really weird stuff on here. When I click through, when I post this on Facebook, it shows me like pictures of previous broadcasts. I look pretty scary sometimes in the camera. You're not doing the camera right now, are you?
No.
Okay, good. Let me get back in there. I don't know who's joining us today. Oh, there's people putting stuff. We got Lost Soul. We got Olima. Thank you, Olima. The revolution is the answer. I think that's a new one.
Revolutionist, he answered.
Revolutionist, he answered. Oh, okay, I see what you're saying. Minuteman's in there. We got a guestie. Rocky Hill Rangers in there. Thanks. Let's see here. Everybody's is everybody up and running? Everybody's listening. Everybody's getting it. Good. Olima is getting it. Our archivist. That's good. Well, I got a call today from a couple people on the border. And it's in the news, although I can't find it, but the source that I got it from, thank you, Revolution, 5x5. they have put a $1 million bounty. When I say they, I mean, you know, Mexicans. It could be the government down there. Who knows? Specifically the drug cartels. $1 million on Sheriff Joe Arpaio. He has said that he is going to honor the SB 1070 or whatever it is. He's going to go out, and if his officers, deputies encounter someone in the commission of a crime or traffic stop and they can't prove their citizenship, they're going to detain them and turn them over for deportation. Now, the question is ICE going to follow up? Hopefully they will. Hopefully where he's at, the ICE officers, the Immigration Customs Enforcement, have a good working relationship, and they will not, you know, what's the word, flinch. To do their duty just because they're following a false leader, Obongo in the White House. I know that when I was doing, I worked for a company called Whack and Hut, and we would transport the prisoners from city jails to the West End Detention Center in San Bernardino, California. And every time I called on an illegal alien, unless he was like a wanted murderer, they never showed up for him. So that was a bad, bad relationship. So they didn't want to do it. Yeah, catch and release. Yeah, I wanted to practice. You know, like you do catch and release with fish. Well, when I wound and release.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. Tag and release. We wanted to do a video where we were tagging the illegal aliens, putting a big old earring in them, with a chip and like a transmitter antenna taped to their back.
Follow so we could migration.
See their migration pattern. See how many times they come back over. They thought, you know, maybe you shouldn't make that video, Dutch. It might look pretty bad. You know. And then this guy. I can't remember his name. Robert Crooks came out with one where he was out killing him and burying him. He put that thing up on YouTube, and I'm like, hey, I'm glad I didn't do it. He got all the heat for that. He was an idiot, but you know, that's what happens. Let's see, what was we had a couple other things we did want to talk about, and of course I can't remember them, so let me go back to my notes here. It's funny, I spend all day researching, and then when I get here, it's like, what I forget. But fortunately, I stick them someplace so I can
find them. Without killing them, you wouldn't get so much.
Yeah, if you just buried the wounded ones, and yeah, bury the wounded and throw the dead back over the fence. That's kind of what they do to here anyway. I always hate it when I say I'm on the radio, because when I go back and hear it, I go, no, I'm lying. They had a conviction today in two domestic terrorists. They were naturalized immigrants from, I think they were from Dubai or something. I'll read the article here. But it was in New York. They were going to blow up the fuel tanks at JFK. Remember that? It's like a 60-year-old guy and a 58-year-old dude or whatever from Guyana, G-U-Y-A-N-A. 66-year-old naturalized U.S. citizen. Well, they were convicted today. We'll see what their sentencing is. The jury said they were guilty. Two men were convicted Monday of plotting to blow up jet fuel tanks at JFK International Airport, a plan that authorities says was meant to outdo the September 11, 2001 attacks and avenge perceived U.S. oppression of Muslims around the world. That is true. Perceived. We're basically handing everything to the Muslims around the world. I mean, I'm learning a lot from my new Serbian friends about how that war went, Clinton's war. Russell DeFreitas, that's DeFreitas, DeFreitas. Sounds more like a Portuguese name than a former JFK cargo handler, the guy that always steals your stuff out of your luggage, and Abdul Kadir, once a member of Guyana's parliament, were convicted of multiple conspiracy charges. Kadir was acquitted of one charge, surveillance of mass transportation. I want to stop here for a minute. It is against the law to watch mass transportation now. I know guys that when I was in the fire department, on their days off, they would go to Cajon Pass and videotape trains. They would just sit out by the railway and watch trains. They would take pictures. They'd videotape them. They'd know the numbers on them. They collected data on them. So it's now... What's going on out there? Oh, somebody running? Oh, car going in. So now it's actually a charge to be watching or surveilling of mass transportation. Weird. Weird. You just can't sit on the dock of the bay watching the ships go by anymore, can you? That old song, it'd be illegal. Now, the Brooklyn Federal Court jury deliberated about 5 days. They actually put some effort in this. Probably because they're getting good meals. These federal cases, I've heard if you're on a jury in a federal case, it's like lobster, steak, put you in the nicest hotels. I don't know if they were not quarantined, I guess sequestered. But if you're on a jury on a federal trial, you get all
that stimulus fund.
Yeah, it's from the stimulus fund. That's what it is. It's, you know, it's part of that. Now, DeFreitas, a 66-year-old naturalized U.S. citizen from Guyana, and Kadir, 58, were arrested in 2007. And now get this, after an informant infiltrated the plot and recorded them discussing it. Now, what they're not telling you is probably, I'm not saying these Arab guys are legal or in any way, you know, being railroaded. They probably were going to blow up stuff. But I always love when they say an informant infiltrated the plot. Well, if they didn't have somebody on the inside, how do they even know about it? And how do you infiltrate something that's not happening? And why was this informant even in contact with the FBI over it? You know, it's just like the Hutari thing. They get in there and go, and I could just see, it'd be like, we're sitting around the campfire and Lou's got like a, you know, he's got this silly grin on his face. Hey guys, let's talk about blowing up stuff. And then he's like leaning forward so his microphone will pick it up. Those kind of things, those provocateur situations, I take everything I'm reading in this article with a grain of salt. Prosecutors allege that DeFreitas and Kadir wanted to kill thousands of people and cripple the American economy by using explosives to blow up the fuel tanks and the underground pipelines that run through an adjacent Queens neighborhood. Authorities say the men sought the help of militant Muslims, including an Al-Qaeda operative in Guyana. I don't understand why more of this isn't happening. As incompetent as law enforcement is, they're running around chasing people and taking guns away from old women and, you know, and tasing old women in their beds. If these hardcore terrorists really wanted to do this kind of thing, I think they would do it. That's just my opinion. I am confused and amazed that we don't see this happen more often. I said something at Sunday. It's just like, if I was a pissed off Islamo-fascist terrorist and I hadn't heard anything from my handlers, I'd activate my cell and go out and just start doing stuff on soft targets. If there really was a threat and of this type, I think we would be seeing stuff at Disneyland going up. I mean, as much as we're... I mean, Israel just, you know, does what it wants to do, pisses off the Arabs, but yet you don't see anything here. I am totally confused by this whole question of Islamofascism. I waver, I know. I go back and forth on it. You know, sometimes I think we should deport everybody who doesn't speak English that came here from some foreign country and just play it safe. And then other times I'm like, well, how do we know that they're even a threat? A few weeks ago, I read you that report that came out that we found duplicated all over the country at different locations. It was all a scam. So when we see articles like this, I try to read between the, not just the lines, but even between the letters. The defendants wanted to set off an explosion so massive that it could be seen far, far away, Assistant U.S. Attorney. Now get the name of the U.S. Attorney. Zainab Ahmad. So it's, see how they do that? See how they play politics? They put in some, you know, towelhead U.S. attorney. Zainab Hamad. I like saying Hamad. I learned to speak Arabic from watching Team America. Durka. Said in his closing arguments, their vision prompted them to codename the plot The Shining Light. The prosecutor said. The two men shut their eyes when the verdict was read and whispered quietly to their attorneys. It was probably, you're fired. But during the trial, their lawyers described the two men as clueless trash talkers who were led astray, and get this, by an informant who was a convicted drug dealer. See, this is what happens. They get some guy by the cojones. Look that one up in your Spanish to English dictionary. And they squeeze him. And they say, what can you tell us about these other guys? We've been looking at these other guys. You happen to know some guys that go to a mosque. And that's how they do it. They create these for a media circus to pat themselves on the back. Meanwhile, we have training camps all over America where there's video of Islamo types training, and they don't even do anything about them. But Lord help any militia that decides to train. An American militia. Now, Kadir maintained his innocence. Obviously, he's totally disappointed, said his attorney. Yeah, they're probably going to go to prison forever with all the new sentencing laws. There's more than just the evidence Mr. Kadir was coming up against. His lawyer's name is Nkrumah, which I don't know what that is. There's the atmosphere. It sounds like the UN was in the courtroom today. There's the atmosphere of fear in the country of Muslims, Islam, and the fear of terrorists, especially in New York City. DeFreitas attorney Mildred Whalen, that's the name I can pronounce, said they wouldn't have had a case without the government's intervention. I'll read what that means. She's basically saying if they hadn't, you know, sent an infiltrator in there and made this up. I think it's very clear these guys couldn't act on their own and didn't act on their own, Whalen said. We're deeply disappointed. We're going to see more of this. They're testing it on the Muslims, and then they're going to apply it to what they call domestic homegrown terrorism, which is you and me. They're going to send somebody to your little group. You're going to be sitting around the campfire. Those of you that imbibe, you might have a couple beers in you. And somebody's going to say, wouldn't it be great if somebody would just go out and take out a bunch of highway patrolmen? And then this provocateur is going to go, yeah, that'd be great. How would you do that if you were going to do that? And you know how people are. They talk. They get all Rambo-esque. That's how they do these things. We can learn from this. The other story I want to tell you about that relates to this is they've trimmed Miranda. Now, I believe in the Fifth Amendment and all that kind of stuff, and I'm not a big fan of the Miranda rights. I mean, if you study the case, it was a Hispanic man who got off on a technicality. He raped and brutalized this woman, and then a few years later, I think he got killed in an armed robbery. But the concept was that the police don't have the right to beat a confession out of you. The police have to notify you that everything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. You guys all know it. Anybody who's watched any cop show knows Miranda, and everybody has an opinion about, oh, we shouldn't be giving them their rights. Well, actually, it's not giving them anything. It's just establishing what rights we're supposed to have under the Constitution. Well, now the Supreme Court, in three decisions that just came out, have pretty much decided that you don't have a right to stay quiet anymore unless you verbally say, I want to stay quiet. It's retarded on its face. Unless you tell the police officers, excuse me, I have a right to remain silent, and I'm invoking it right now, and I will not talk to you, I want to see a lawyer. Unless you say that, you don't have that right anymore. It's not implied. They don't even have to read you your rights anymore, because there was another decision 3 years ago that said everybody knows them, because everybody watched Starsky and Hutch. Everybody watched all these cop shows, you know, L.A., what was it?
Dragnet.
Yeah, Dragnet was on there. You know, everybody knows it. You got to realize, Miranda came in 66. It's as old as me. I was born in 66. I don't remember the exact month of the Supreme Court decision. But what they're doing is they're trimming away, making it easier to get you. And now, your Miranda rights expire. You know, you have to re-invoke your desire to not speak to them 14 days after being arrested. The judgment was said that the decision said that, well, we figure once you're released, you're out on bail, you're back with your friends, you've had time to talk to counsel, you know, lawyer or whatever, you should know that when you're talking to police, everything can be used against you. We don't have to redo it. So it's just like saying, you know, they can come up to you after 14 days and start pressuring you again and use the threat of imprisonment. They're saying it's different because you're on the street. You're not in a jail cell or in an interrogation room. So it doesn't work out for you after you've been bailed out. Does that make sense? It's very confusing to me. But they're attacking all these little things that were put into place by liberal courts, admittedly, by very liberal courts. But the goal is to make it easier for them to pick you up, make you disappear, to make it easier for them to squeeze you so they can lead to these other things. Any of you guys, if you have any friends, you got hey, how's it going relationship with the guy at 7-Eleven when you buy your coffee and he wears a towel on his head? They're gonna ask you, hey, you know, you go to 7-Eleven every morning. Has Ahmed over there ever asked you about anything? Has he ever asked you, you know, where you could get some guns or anything? That's what they're gonna do. They're building, just like the secret police, like the Gestapo. What was the first one? The brown shirts. They're building networks. They're building a system of information gathering. It's called human intel, and they're making a machine that will devour you if you get caught in it. You've got to remember the sacred words. I don't like Tom Metzger, but this is what he preaches. Tom Metzger from White Aryan Resistance. He trains all of his people. When you get picked up by the cops, you look them square in the eye, and you have five words. I have nothing to say. Is that right? I have nothing to say. That's five words. I have nothing to say. Just do that if you get picked up. I don't care if you're pulled over for a speeding ticket. They ask, how's your day going? Just go, I have nothing to say to you. Do you have any idea what the speed limit is? I have nothing to say. Can I search your car? I would just look at them. Never give consent. Doesn't mean they're not going to take it. I can speak personally, and there are people that I know. They're gonna find a way around. They're just going to bring a drug dog out that's trained to act like it's triggering on drugs, and they're going to search your car. But why make it easy for them? Why go out of your way to just give it to them? Now, I'm not saying be violent. Some of you, and I think it works sometimes too, just to sit there and go, just smile. What was it we heard last night? Bless them. What was the saying? Bless them, praise them, let them go.
When you're confronted with a foe, bless them, praise them.
Let them go. When you're confronted with the foe, bless them, praise them, let them go. You're going to be surprised where we heard that. We heard it on the Carol Burnett Show. We were watching, it was like one of their 25-year reunions or something from the 80s. And it was in the skit, and I was like, I've never heard that, and that's pretty cool. So sometimes that's the way to treat the enemy, especially these guys. So we're seeing all kinds of stuff going on, folks. We're seeing them come after our rights. They've thrown the Constitution out. In fact, I tell people, I go, we're already doomed. If you're not operating from that, if your back is not up against the wall spiritually and morally, physically, then you're not playing for keeps. You're just not playing for keeps. When we come back after the break in a little bit, I've got a sad story about the first or second oldest farm in America is going out of business. It's like 1637 up there in Vermont or New Hampshire. I'll get the article again. It's just sad. They just can't afford it anymore. They're just with all the fees and all the regulations. Something like 11 generations worked this farm in America, and it's going out of business. They're selling it for like $3.5 million on the stipulation that it cannot be turned into condos or tract housing or strip malls, but you know what's going to happen. It'll change hand a few times. It's a piece of American heritage, a piece of history, and we're going to talk about that probably for the next hour and a half. I want to talk about the importance of maintaining our heritage, maintaining our lost skills, teaching our children the importance of providing, not just for themselves, but for their family and their kin, those that are close to them, extended family. It's going to be an extension of my little Bible study that I did in church yesterday, and the importance of these lost skills being kept forward and pushed forward. We don't know how many generations are next. I have no idea. I had some guy send me this big, old, long diatribe about how I'm an end times guy. I said, you obviously don't listen to the show. You didn't listen to the videos that you're quoting that I was in. I'm not an end times guy. I don't know when the end is going to be, but I do know that maybe my great, 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 great grandchildren need to have these skills. It may have nothing to do with Armageddon. It may have nothing to do with the New World Order. It may just have to do with society just falls apart because of its own frivolity. So, is that right? Frivolity? Yeah, that would work because it is a stupid act to do what we're doing and allowing to happen here. So we're gonna start taking a break right now. I need to drink a bunch of water. Make sure Lou's still alive. We'll be back. This is Dutch Jones. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program. I'm going to give out the phone number. It is working. We tested it. 559-561-8225. We'll be back.
How can we look in our children's eyes, knowing one day they might ask us why we didn't try to stop the tyranny to ensure the survival of our liberty? Our freedoms come with a mighty price. Let's not forget those who sacrificed. They fought, some died to keep us free, like our founders did for you and me. Freedom first, that's our battle cry. No, we won't sit quietly by. Fighting back with balance, you will see. Peace was for all enemies of liberty. Times are tough with no relief in sight. They're trying to change our way of life. There are things right now that you can do. Use your God-given gifts to spread the truth. Our founders knew what they had to write in our Constitution and our Bill of Rights. We have a right to life and liberty. The pursuit of happiness is guaranteed. You will.
Thank you for listening to the Dutch Jones Radio Program. And if you get nothing else from our show, there should be two things that you learn. One is, you need to work together with other like-minded people. And number two, you need the basic equipment to keep from becoming a refugee. So whether you're looking for a water filter, tactical gear, surplus gear, or just want to look into some new survival equipment, you need to check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. We carry surplus, and we carry new lines from MilSpec and Voodoo Tactical. And if you don't see it on our website, please send us a message, and we'll find it for you. So if you're going to need the gear anyway, why not buy it from us? You'll get it for cheaper than you will from the source, and it'll help out the ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So whether you're new or been in this for a while, check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk.
Without a gun.
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
All for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel.
Put out all points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention.
A new world order.
Attention.
The government is an emergency.
We speak an emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones, Jones
Radio Program.
And now for something completely different.
And I'm turning up the microphones. I'm pushing them up. I'm very skilled. I am a skilled American worker, although I'm doing this for free mostly. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program. We're coming to you live from the belly button of California, a little village known as Kauia. 480 souls or so. Actually, about half of them are hippies, so they don't really have souls. Hippies don't have souls, right?
No.
And just like communists, they don't
have
souls.
There's a few gingers in there, too.
There's a couple gingers. What is it with you and gingers? Why don't you like... I was a redheaded kid as a kid. My hair just turned blonde.
And then you got a soul?
That gingers don't have a soul? Is that what you're saying? Man, now we're going to get letters from the redheaded people. Make sure you address them to Lou. I'll just forward them through his email. Because he's
but the extremists are going
to... He doesn't have guts enough to... Yeah, he thinks that the... He doesn't think the New World Order is bad. He thinks it's redheads. He's scared of... He's, like, violently against the redhead... They're like... Did you know... What was it like by the year 2080? There will be no more redheads or something?
So quit sweating.
Yeah, so don't worry about it. Genetically, they're inferior. I don't know why mine changed. I didn't have freckles, so I was a daywalker. I wasn't a full-on... I
you only had half your soul.
So I have half a soul. Great. Well, good news. Your souls are like liver. They can grow. But we're coming to you from the church at Kauia property. That doesn't mean I represent the views of the church at Kauia. It just means this is a place where I am for right now in time and space where the Lord has put me. So if I say something that you don't think the church should be saying, it's probably not something the church is saying. Just get over yourself and go mow your lawn or something.
Are you not politically correct?
I am not politically correct.
Wow.
I have chased off more people than dysentery from this location, and that goes back to like the 1880s when the Marxists were first here. It's like I've been worse than the 10th Cavalry that came in and chased them off. But we're doing the show. We try to do the show as best we can. We try to stay up. We're out of money again. If you guys look, $75 was donated. That doesn't even pay the internet bill. We've got today is the 2nd. We got about 9 more days until we have to pay the internet bill. We have to pay for electricity for the building. We have to pay for all kinds of stuff, and we just don't have enough. And like I told you, if you're listening earlier, Stacy may be laid off on the 15th. We're praying that they keep her on because she's a good little worker. She's like this like little energy troll. She just I can't believe it's amazing. I wish I could sneak a camera in there, but she seems to be enjoying the work. Your help is needed. You can go to DutchJones.tk, DutchJones.tk. And if you've already given, this is not meaning you have to give more. It's the others. If we have 2,000 people downloading our shows per month, then you know, kick in some money. You know, keep us going. Keep Lou off the streets. We're gonna turn into that. If it wasn't for this show, Lou would be committing gang crimes on the street. He'd be jacking the people up here and selling crack cocaine.
Not to mention the panhandling.
And the panhandling. So keep Lou off the streets. Go to DutchJones.tk. Go to the pitch-in. $5-$10 is all we need. I have 10 bucks. And those of you that have bought stuff, I assure you we're shipping it out. We're just a little behind the eight ball. We paid for all the stuff. It ended up being more expensive than we thought, so we're waiting for Stacy's bringing some cash up. We're going to package it and ship it tomorrow. Those of you that are waiting on stuff, it is here. It's in my living room. We haven't been playing with it much. I got to keep Lou out of the gas mask. He likes putting them on and running around the room saying, look, I'm Mr. Snuffleupagus, which is kind of weird because I don't even think he knows who Mr. Snuffleupagus is. But your support is needed, financial. I always say we need your prayers. That goes without saying. The post office box, we put that into Stacy's name. So just send it to Post Office Box 31 or DJ, care of Post Office Box 31. I refuse to render them ID. So I got my VA meds today and they were like reluctant. And they're like, well, who are you? I gave them my name and they're like, well, you're not on the box. I said, it doesn't matter. The VA sent me those. Are you interfering with a veteran and his meds? Well, I don't know if I'm supposed to give these to you. I said, well, I think you are. And they handed them to me. It was the guy, which is in the little truck that drives around.
You were wearing your sidearm?
No, I wasn't. I should have been wearing my sidearm. Yes. That usually helps when I go to the post office here.
Service with a smile.
Service with a smile. Next time I'll bring a machete or something, you know, strapped to my back.
I say,
Look, I have a machete. Here's the all. This is all the ID I need. My name is, I mean, you know, why?
You.
I keep almost giving out my real name. Look, that's me on the package. You know, it's me. I still have my VA ID, my disabled veterans ID card somewhere. And so I use that for everything. And then if they start saying, well, we need some other ID, I go, are you denying a disabled American veteran his right to pass? And they get all upset. I start getting on my cell phone. Who are you calling? My congressman, my senator, my pastor. I'm calling the media. And then they let
Arnold.
Me in. I'm calling Arnold Schwarzenegger. Yeah, he wouldn't care. But, yeah, I play the veteran card sometimes. You know, I go around and say I was in Vietnam, World War II, and Korea. I have nothing against veterans, but sometimes they're annoying. And we had an incident this weekend where we got this guy. Guy's a genius in his head, but he's forgotten. I think he was in the Spanish-American War. He's like 140 years old. Yeah, and he took out a rifle to show everybody, you know. And I share these things with you because they're teachable moments. I'm not trying to make fun of him individually. But he was, like, showing people his rifle, and he's pointing it at the road right when the sheriff drove by. And I'm up in a bucket truck going, hey, put the weapon down.
You didn't mention he's deaf.
Yeah, and I forgot to mention he was deaf, and we had a generator or some kind of pump going. We're shooting videos. We're working on a new video that we're going to send out to you guys to motivate you and get you to show it to your neighbors, try and get them involved in the Christian militia movement. So anyway, it's just like, I don't know what it is with veterans. And I know I've done it. It's the meds they gave us. It's the mind control. It's the chip. I didn't know they had the chip in the Spanish-American War, but good guy. You know, I'm sure if we put him behind a desk and asked him for stuff, but there's some people. And then there was another guy who was right there with him, and I'm like, tell him to put down the weapon. And he just got this deer in the headlights look in his eyes.
I was 3 feet from him, and they didn't hear.
Yeah, me. Yeah. And then this member of the studio audience was yelling, and I'm like, you know, get them out, get them away from the, you know. And nothing was loaded. It was just weird. What was funny is we're all decked out in, you know, different layers. We wanted it to look hodgepodge, to look militia. We didn't want everybody out there in their full gear and everything. And as we're doing it, a car pulled into the church. And we're all standing there. It must have been 10 or 11 people.
All in camo.
We got little kids out there reading the Bible in a half circle with camouflage on. And everybody's got a rifle except for our medic. And they just took one look and then backed out. And I'm like, man, that would have been, I wish, you know, we should have run down there. But then if we'd have run down there, they probably would have been scared. But it was a good thing. I'm glad we did it. I'm looking forward to putting the video out. We'll throw it out on YouTube and get it out around the world. Let's see, what's Olimar saying? A common law name is is irrelevant insofar as the law looks proof of identity lies within the accuser, not the accused. Strangely enough, I actually understand that, Olimar. Whenever people would show me like legal documents, like when my divorce was going through, they'd point to the name on the legal document and go, is that you? No, those are letters. It drove him nuts. Like the sheriff deputy came out like four or five times. I was living up in a secluded area. I was literally living in a cave. I had an RV next to the cave, but and this poor sheriff kept coming in. He goes, "Can I enter your property?" I go, "Absolutely not." It was my camp. It was a campsite, Yellow Post campsite, and I had an AR-15. I was wearing bandolier. I had everything but the sombrero. And this poor deputy that my ex-wife kept sending up because she worked for the county. It was somebody she probably was knew, and have to be careful. And so finally, about the fifth, he was like, "Man, I'm just doing my job." And I said, "That's too bad." And I walked in. Finally, I got coaxed into it. My ex-mother-in-law said, "We'll buy you dinner at Claim Jumper if you come down and sign the paperwork." And I'm like, "Okay." but I don't want to see her. Just me and you, Grandma. And she said, okay.
You sold out easy.
Yeah. Well, I had to do it anyway. It's a no-fault state. I mean, yeah. Eventually they would have just said failure to receive paperwork, and I got dumped anyway. I lost everything.
Throw a meal in and you fold up like
yeah, well, you got to realize, what did I just say? I was living in a cave in an RV, and I was eating squirrels and whatever I could kill. So I was thinking, claim jumper. I went and got, like, the whole chicken thing and the steak thing and the salad bar. I was there for, like, 14 hours on the salad bar. And but yeah, so when they try and serve me, it just drove them nuts. I learned a lot, especially from being a process server myself and being a private investigator, bail enforcement officer. They say, "Is this you?" "No, that's a picture of somebody." And they get so mad at me. And then afterwards they go, "Well, why didn't you tell us you were in law enforcement?" I tell this every time. And they're like, "Well, I wanted to see how far you'd twist." I'm like, "Well, you know, we'll give you," they call it professional courtesy. And I'm like, "Why doesn't everybody get professional courtesy?" You know, that kind of garbage. But yeah, no, that's not me. That's some paperwork. I'm representing myself right here. Well, who are you? I refuse to give you my name. You know, they hate it. Now in California, I think it's against the law not to have some kind of identifying document, picture ID now. I go out without them. I am a News at 11 thing just waiting to happen. I really don't know how it's going to go when some idiot cop, you know, steroid, you know, he's mad at his wife, is going to take it out on me. Someone's saying, yeah, it is illegal to go out without paperwork. Thanks, Lost Soul. And it's every time I leave this mountain, it's a crapshoot to see whether or not you guys are going to really find out who the real Dutch Jones is, because I'm going to either be, you know, out in a blaze of glory, or they're going to find me crying under a house, dragging me out by my feet. I don't know what's going to happen. It all depends what the spirit is at the time. I'll be honest with you.
You're just worried they're going to put a bad picture of you on the news.
Yeah, it's going to be that disgruntled picture of me in a wife beater shirt.
That Nick Nolte picture.
Yeah, like, that's why I shave my head. I don't want to have Nick Nolte hair when I get arrested again. It's already out there. I mean, if somebody knew who I was, I'm sure the public information, you know, laws, you could get pictures of me, you know, from my arrest records and stuff. I've been arrested 9 times. I've never even gone to court on, well, the juvenile ones. I can't even tell you how many times I arrested a juvenile. I don't remember as an adult. But they usually get, we didn't know you were, you know, ex-law enforcement. We didn't know you did this. And they're usually stupid stuff, but...
Squirrel poaching.
I actually did get picked up for poaching one time. That was just this retarded game warden. And I said, how can you prove I was poaching? I had no animals. You know, I had nothing in my possession. So, but... Yeah, I don't know. Sometimes I go, yeah, bring it on. I'll go to court. I'll be a minister in jail, whatever. Especially when things get stressful. I think, you know, 3 hots and a cod, or what is it actually? 1 hot, right?
Well, it's 2, and then a bag lunch.
And then you get a bag, and you get an apple and a moldy sandwich or something.
Peanut butter and jam.
Now, the worst food I ever got was in the Larimer County Jail. There's sloppy joes and a sugar cookie. I was in there for 2 days.
It's not Maricopa.
Yeah, at least it's not Maricopa. Moldy bologna in a tent, you know. But the best food I ever got was actually in the San Bernardino City Jail where I worked. They gave them those dollar banquet TV dinners, and I'd eat like 5 of those. Because, you know, if we paid for them, we could eat them. They were $1. They literally got them for $1. I used to get, like, the chicken and tater tots one. But, I don't know how I'm going to react. I don't know what's going to happen when, you know, they drag me out of the car. I may go kicking and screaming like a little girl. I don't know. It all depends what mood you get me in. It depends, you know, what I'm thinking about at the time. It's just like being in a fight. I've been in situations where I don't even remember what I did, and everybody's like, man, you look like John Wayne back there. And I'm like, yeah, whatever, you know. And then other times it's just like, where's the door? How can I get out of this? You never know how big a hero you're going to be or how big a schmuck you're going to be until it happens. But just be careful out there. These cops are they're tricky. They're training them to trip you up. Everything, it's like they look at it as the weeding effect. They pull one weed and they follow the roots to something else. They get one guy for drunk and disorderly or open container, but then they want to find out what else he knows. It's human intel. They're applying military-style intel gathering to the streets. Now, it doesn't seem to work on the criminals for some reason because they just have a rotating door. The gang members, like in Fresno and stuff, it's ridiculous. But yet, we were just talking about it on the break. They're lowering the alcohol level for driving. They're increasing the DUI checkpoints. But if you look at it, they only arrest 2 or 3 DUIs. But 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, other people, you know, having weapons in cars, having expired plates. You never hear about illegal aliens. I always call, how many illegal undocumented aliens or whatever did you get? No, we don't keep those numbers. Well, you reported it to the local paper that you arrested these many people, but how many of them are illegals? There has to be a large number of illegals given the agricultural economy they're in. They don't want to put those numbers in because I don't think they're doing it. I can tell you when I was with Riverside PD and I was doing ride-alongs, I wasn't a Riverside PD officer, I was a fireman, and they would ask me to do ride-alongs for training purposes and stuff because I was a video guy. And if they pulled over an illegal alien, they would take the car, but they'd let them walk. And I was like, why don't you? He goes, it's a hassle. We'll call. Back then it was Border Patrol. We call, you know, we call immigration, and they don't show up, and we have to feed them for. And after 3 days, we got to release them anyway. It's just not efficient, and our jail doesn't want it.
They just want to get the car back to the rightful owner.
Yeah, they want to get the car back to the rightful owner. Yeah, well, that's a big scam too, because they'll seize those cars. The illegals don't come back for them because they're scared to death, you know, and not even though there's no real threat, and they'll just sell them at auction. You know, it's a couple $100. It's better than a poke in the eye. Helps pay keep that officer on the street, right? That's what they're doing. Same reason for parking meters, parking tickets, jaywalking tickets. It's all a scam. The police thing.
Helmet.
Yeah.
Winking the wrong way.
Blinking. If you blink the wrong way, they can pull you over. I love it. We had some lady that, well, like when the last time Stacy got pulled over, I thought you were going to swerve. What? So now cops are psychic? They can see into the future? Yeah, I thought you were going to swerve. And he just asked to see the registration, insurance, and her license, and they just let us go. And the whole time I'm sitting there going, he's going to pull me out of the car. He's going to pull me. Hey, how'd you know it was him? They heard your voice, yeah. That's, yeah. Minuteman, we don't use real names. But he just used your real name. No, that's Cooter.
That is his real name.
Yeah, it's his code name. That's Cooter. Yeah. Cooter's in the audience. And
what's up, Cooter?
Hey. But, yeah, he's in here. But, yeah, I kind of got off on a tangent there. But this is, you know, this is Monday. I like to, you know, how Friday is pants optional Friday. Monday is just like, you know. Yeah. Stopping you driving a lawnmower with a beer in your hand. I've seen, you guys seen those videos. I love it when the guy on the lawnmower gets up and pees. He goes, man, I got to do it. And he just gets up and starts peeing. So then they get him for public urination, which is a sex crime in some states, you know. What a nightmare. So keep your eyes open. Don't get pulled into the, as we used the term earlier, dragnet. They're going to keep doing these vehicle stops because they've been found to be constitutional. You don't have rights anymore. Minimum's got it, didn't know his handle. We don't even have handles up here yet for a lot of folks. I want to be the golden ambassador of love. No, that's not right.
That's taken.
Yeah, somebody else got that.
Love guru.
Yeah, I could be the love guru. Because I'm just so good at getting people to resolve their differences. But anyway.
And you're a chick magnet.
And I am a chick magnet. Yeah, I am. That's another reason I can't go out in the street. Too many women throw themselves at me, and then Stacy starts cutting on them. It's kind of sad. Please stop mailing me undergarments, ladies. I don't get the mail here usually. Stacy does. I'm not. I guess some of those names could. Yeah, that one guy. I didn't know Kyle was a woman's name. I keep getting panties from somebody named Kyle. Taking a weird way here. But as we wind down this first hour, what I want to talk about the next hour is technologies that are lost. Or that you think are going to be lost. Because, like what I'm doing right here, this computer stuff, soundboard stuff, running wires through the building to get phone back in here, not going to do a whole lot of good when I need to feed a family. At least Lou needs to have about 4,000 calories a day. Anthea, my daughter, she's just been eating amazing.
Yeah, about 100.
Today she ate a whole can of SpaghettiOs. That's right, I do feed my kids SpaghettiOs. 4 oatmeals, a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and like 4 or 5 tablespoons of peanut butter that she just uses like a lollipop. She's not allergic to peanut butter. And now she's crashed. I think she's going to grow a foot. She's already like really tall. So I've got to make sure that I can... you know what? That's funny you say that, Minuteman, because I actually did get my medications, like I said earlier. I just dropped a cleaner. So I could have been. Maybe they put something in my pills today. So I am feeling kind of loose and free with the verbiage. But, yeah, you guys got to call in and tell me what kind of technology. Do you know anything about weaving? Do you know anything about turning sheep into thread? You know, how do you grow cotton and make it into a pair of blue jeans? 559-561-8225. 559-561-8225. We always talk about buying CBs, buying bullets, making sure you have a shovel. But, you know, we talk about gardening, but what are the other skills? I can think of a couple, just, you know, being a good seamstress, being able to mend the clothes you have, because when it hits, odds of you going to Wally World and getting another pair of those Old Glory fake BDUs are pretty much done.
Jerking game.
Yeah. How to make jerky out of game. We got the lady who moved in here. I think she went with her mom somewhere today. She's been making beef jerky like out of everything. Turkey jerky, rabbit jerky. She had some venison the other day that somebody gave her. and just went to town on that. And that's how she's providing, because she doesn't have much of an income. Today we went through our long storage food, rotated some stuff out, and I was thinking, you know, just the basic skill of building a fire without a matches or a magnesium strip. And we watched a training video today where these one guy used a bow, one guy used a hand drill. And I tell you what, this was an army sniper. He used that hand drill and it tore his hands to pieces. You know, it's where you have the long stick and you rub your hands together, you hear that? And you roll down it. His hands were just shredded, and this was just from a stick. You know, how do we build up that skill? You know, it's like we can store all the matches we want, but eventually they're going to run out. How to make knives out of stones. You know anything about flint napping? You even know what that is? That's what the savages that lived here before we kicked them off the continent and put them on reservations. I'm sorry. but that's what they did. And we can learn a lot from the indigenous people that lived here or in other places, the people that are still Stone Age. You can mock them all you want for not inventing the microprocessor, but they're not going to be affected by the crash. You know, they may benefit from penicillin, but they're not going to benefit from the microcircuit.
The original survivalist.
Yeah, you know, they just going out and gathering food, going out and being able to snare food. Do you know, I mean, do you really know where you live, how much acreage it takes to feed your family? You'd be surprised. It's a lot. Think about the first settlers. Minimum 140 acres for a family of 4, 5, 6. And then they still had to buy other things. You know, getting a cow, a mule, or, you know, something that can pull the plow. And then you work your butt off from sunrise to sunset. How many Americans can still do that? How many Americans even know how to hook a horse or... Well, you wouldn't use a horse, or too frail. A mule or an oxen to a plow. Really? I mean, how many people would know how to make a wagon? How many people would know how to make a barrel? Cooper Smiths. You know, that's what that's called? Cooper Smith. All you people out there with the last name Cooper or Cooper Smith, you're descended from barrel makers. There are so many lost skills. It's my goal for everyone in my house to learn all that we can, Mary said. Excellent. That's exactly what we do here. When we have our little trainings, I show people how to set up snares. I show people how to do all that stuff. But yet I still get resistance. They still think, oh, well, there'll be somebody that can butcher my cow for me. I saw it in their eyes on Sunday when I was kind of admonishing those that didn't show up for the training and praising those that did and say, you know, you've got to know how to do these things. And it goes beyond just knowing how to butcher them. How do you raise a rabbit healthy? How do you optimize the output from a rabbit? What kind of food do they need? Because you're going to get such a... You think, you know, you get your paycheck, you go to the store, you buy stuff, and you go, man, that's not enough. Imagine what it's going to be like when you're feeding rabbits or chickens or whatever, and you're living off what little they output, eggs or the meat. It's going to be a much lower profit. Trust me, it is. Especially if you live in a non-agricultural area and you can't augment, you know, what you have to go out and barter for. And what are you going to barter with? How are you going to... let's say you live in an apartment and you decide against Dutch's best advice to stay in that apartment. You want to go Kosovo and all that all over again. You don't learn from other people's mistakes. And you want to have to waddle down to whatever market there is, avoid the snipers. What have you got to trade other than your body? Labor? Most people go, no, I do not need labor. I have slaves. So you got your option. You want to be a slave or do you want to provide for your family? Learning how to just how to use an axe. People think, well, I'll just buy an axe and put it in my kit. There's a good book on running a 5-acre farm to sustain your family, and I have the book, so I know how to utilize what I have, Minuteman says. There's some good books out there. You can get those survival seed cans for like $150, and they're germinating seeds, they're rejuvenating seeds, whatever the word is. They're not Terminator seeds. But how many people actually know how deep to plant a seed? How often to water? How do you? What tools do you need? Do you have hoes, rakes, shovels? Do you have what you need to do it? Do you know how to sharpen a shovel? You know how many people don't? Everybody goes, well, I've got this whole garage full of survival tools. When have you broken it out and used them? I always love it when somebody says, oh, I have an axe. Heirloom seed. I can't pronounce it. Heirloom seeds. Herloom? Myloom? Yearloom? Yeah, that's what they're... Heirloom. We've got a bunch of those. What do you do when you say, well, I've got solar panels and a generator. Do you know how to fix them? Do you have the parts available? Can you remove and replace components? Do you know how to take animal fat and organic material and augment what fuel you have to make it last longer? There's a great book called Alcohol is a Gas. I've been reading it online. You can get it on Amazon. And what happened was, is down in South America, when gas prices here went to $4, $5 a gallon, it almost got $5 a gallon here in California. It's like $4.50, $4.60, $4.70. In Central America, they were $10 and $12 a gallon. It was like being in Europe, or it was like being in Hawaii. So what people were doing is they set up stills in their backyard and using organic material, animal fats. They made their own alcohol. And they diluted their fuel slowly. They didn't convert their cars. They didn't get all these adapters. You know, granted, they don't have emission stuff down there, so it's a big difference. Eventually, some of them found out you could run it on 10% gas, 90% alcohol that you made from grass clippings and whatever else you could boil in the still. How many people actually know how to make a still? And a couple of hands went up in here. Other than watching MASH or, you know, looking at Little Abner, how many people actually know how to make a still? You need to get the books and the videos on it and learn how to do it now, because you're going to use it for so many things. But fuel. Let's say you want to stay dependent on internal combustion. You better have a way to make fuel. And everybody thinks that, oh, well, I'll just be able to find somebody to do it for me. Just like this butchering thing. I've lost sleep over this. The people that, you know, I'll say, you need to learn to butcher animals. Oh, I don't want to learn that. I don't need that skill. Well, then you better have something that's a little more valuable so that others will do it for you and train, which will happen. I'm not saying everybody has to be their own butcher, but you don't know what situation you're going to be stuck in. You don't know where you're going to be. We've been trying to get a butcher up here. We had a young couple where the female was a butcher. Remember them? Mm-hmm. I forgot. Magic and Heather. Yeah. Different Magic. Not the one you're thinking about. And we haven't seen them. I think they had a falling out. They didn't like something we were doing. But she was a butcher, and we were all excited. She was a union butcher for Stater Brothers. And we were like, oh, now we can get the animals. And then she can teach us. She can train us. Now, we've got some farm boys. We got some Filipino Okies, half Filipino, half Okie, that know how to do it. But it'd be nice to have somebody who knows how to actually make a filet mignon, not just, okay, here's a hind quarter, go cook it over the fire, which doesn't bother me. But if we're going to be marketing and trading stuff, we have to know how to do these things. Plumbers. You got any plumbers in your group? And I'm not talking about the guys that look like Lou with his pants. Do you know how to get water from point A to point Z and having to go through point W and all the others? You got hands going up here, too. Because water is going to be critical, folks. Water is going to be critical. We're going to be back after the break. I'm Dutch Jones. I'm kind of having an easy flow of consciousness day, a little laid back. I'm not angry as I have been. But we'll be back, and when we come back, we'll be on Liberty Tree Radio, and we're going to talk more about these skills and some other things. And please call in if you've got some things that you think we need to focus on. It's our modern day campfire. We'll be back after the break.
I cry for my country. Show.
us pray. I say hallelujah.
Without a gun.
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
Oh, for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all point bulletins. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention!
A new world order.
Attention! The government is an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones, Jones
radio program.
And now for something completely different.
And we're back. This is the Dutch Jones radio program coming to you live. It's Monday, August 2nd, 2010. We're in the belly button of California, right in the middle, coming to you from the little commonwealth known as Kaweah, K-A-W-E-A-H, if you want to come by for a visit. We're going to have our conference flyers out soon, so I'll be able to send you guys some more information on what the topics are and how to register and how to get here. It's filling up fast. It's first weekend in October, and we're already getting a lot of reservations. And welcome to our Liberty Tree Radio listeners. I see that Ed is in there. And welcome to all of you. Thanks for joining us on this second hour of the Dutch Jones radio program. Those of you that tried to tune in on Friday, we just had catastrophic failure. We were at another location, and the DSL wireless was on the same frequency as several wireless phones, and every time somebody went on the phone, it knocked the wireless router out. So that was the explanation. It was just a coincidence. The phone has been in there, but I've never had anybody call that phone when I was at that location before, and it just took us off the air. So I apologize for there not being a show on Friday, and I couldn't even get back on the internet to warn anybody. I realized I don't have any phone numbers for Liberty Tree Radio, so I could tell you guys, but I apologize for that. I threw a sermon up Saturday from America's Providential History. Oh, somebody's buzzing me. That's me. Hand the phone over to the engineer, Lou. Let's see, who do we have? Oh, it's Mom. Let's see what she has to say. Type her back no. Say no. Somebody called and needed some stuff, and Stacy's trying to get it, and they just can't find the right thing. But anyway, back to the radio program. So the weekend was kind of weird for us. I took it just a time to relax, chill out. You know, just, we all need to do it. I just got tired of all the belly aching of so-and-so, he said, she said stuff. Just had to get away from it. And it was nice to go down and go someplace that had cable television so I could watch the military channel and the Discovery Channel 24 hours a day. I spent literally, I don't know, 8 hours watching Man Tracker. Good show, even though they're Canadian. You guys know my view of the Canadians. There may be a few of you that are good, but I don't trust you. Never trusted the Canadians. And just good, you know, good skills. It's funny, you know, if you watch Lindsay Williams, he tells us in his presentations that the New World Order tells us through the media and entertainment and the arts what they're going to do. Every single show this weekend was on survival. Post-apocalyptic, the one called the what was it, the Commune? I can't remember what it was. The Colony, Apocalypse Man, a man-woman survival, which is the best new twist I've seen. They get a married couple, ex-special forces guy, a news reporter from England or South Africa or something, and it puts a fun twist on it. But they're like in South Africa, and she's henpecking and nitpicking, and I'm just thinking, man, I guess all women are alike. Sorry to my women listeners, but it was just one of those. It was one of those weekend things where they had women in these survival things, like in Man Tracker, and I don't know where they found these women, but every one of them was like, every time they saw the Man Tracker, it would run screaming into the trees. Okay, what's... yeah, tell her to go to Walmart and get it. We promised him we could get him the things. He needs our help. where was I going with that? Oh, but I don't mean the just specifically the women they got. They take city folks and throw them out in the woods. But all over it was just all apocalyptic stuff. It was survival stuff. It was like they're poking us with it, going, here's what we're going to do. Here's what we're going to do. Get ready. So that instigated the theme for today's show, even though I've gone off on a few rabbit trails. But hey, I'm allowed to do that. I don't have sponsors. What kind of technologies are we losing? What kind of skills? It doesn't even have to be ancient. I'm not talking, you know, I'm not saying be a Luddite and go all the way back to, you know, learning how to glean things, you know, with stones. But what skills are we losing? And there's one that I noticed throughout all the shows that I was watching this weekend as I vegetated. I actually had powdered donuts, Kentucky Fried Chicken. I went Al Bundy this weekend. Those of you, I don't know if you know who he is. I just sat in my chair and vegged and just got video stimulated. I just wanted to see what was going on out there because I don't watch TV very much. Map reading and compass reading. Everybody that was doing these different things, the ones that survived, or the ones that beat Man Tracker or did really well, knew how to read their compasses. Knew how to navigate a map even without a compass. They knew how to read terrain features on a map, so they didn't end themselves, you know, get themselves up on a cliff while they're trying to evade someone. Because we've seen, and I think it's, and I'm guilty of it too, we focus a lot on making stands. A lot of us plan, oh, this is going to be my stash, this is where I am, this is going to be my Alamo. When in reality, I don't think that way. I think I'm more apt to flee a massive force to fight again another day kind of thing, or to get away from a hazard. Like, what was that green fog that makes you turn inside out? I saw it on The Simpsons today. Everything's video reference today for you. You can tell I've been taking it easy.
Just want to sniff that fog.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't want to turn inside out. But if you don't know the terrain around where you live, what good is it going to be to run into it? Now, most of you probably live in really flat areas. But then again, you know, it's like, I don't know anything about Michigan. We got a lot of Michigan listeners now, and I thank the Lord for them. I love having them because I'm learning a lot from them because they're emailing me stuff. And some people showed me some pictures of their backyard. I had no idea. I've been to Detroit. I've been to Duluth, Minnesota, and seen it from the other side. That's it. That's my whole experience for Detroit or for Michigan. I had no idea the kind of terrain you had there. I had no idea that somebody sent me a bunch of pictures of like these cavernous waterfalls, and I would have guessed they were in Hawaii. They said no, they're up in upper Michigan. They're beautiful, beautiful waterfalls and little hidden places, look like something from Lord of the Rings. You've got to study the terrain around where you're at and where you're going to evade to, escape to. And that starts with being able to read a map, learning the basic skills of throwing a map out. Any map. I don't care if it's the AAA map down the street. You got to learn it. If you've got the ability to go out and get, you know, military grade topo maps, fine. Learn how to use the compass. We just got a bunch of compasses in. People are ordering compasses. I'm really glad to see that. You know, and we try to get the best ones we can for the price. I mean, but a compass is like a good pair of binoculars. You get what you pay for. But that doesn't mean that your 9-year-old daughter's not going to take it out and swing it and hit it up against a light pole and ruin it. She's asleep, so I can't dig on her. I had a really nice, my military lensatic compass that stayed in my hands when I got out. She's out swinging it and hit it against a light pole one day and cracked it. So I let her carry it around as a reminder of what not to touch. But get everybody in your family, not just you. Murphy's Law of Survival. If you're the only one with the skills, guess what? You're taken out the first time the meteorite hits. First time that comet comes down, you're going to get hit with a big chunk of it, and you're out, and your family's going to be doomed because you didn't show initiative and train everybody in the family how to do it. I mean, you teach everyone in your family firearm safety, right? So why don't you teach them how to read a compass? Why don't you teach them how to use a map? How to shoot a reverse azimuth, to do the math, and practice it, do it right. One of the best ways of doing it is geocaching. I know what you're saying. Geocaching is for GPS. Well, you start out with the GPS, you get in the general area, and then you break out the compass and map, and start building those skills, and then when they find the cache, they get little toys. Great way of doing it. Do an orienteering course in your local park. Just use trees, spell out funny words. You know, that's how I learned. In the military, at Fort Carson, we were doing cold weather survival. They had us doing an orienteering course. And there were pie tins with letters in them. And, you know, those were gibberish, but if it's for your kids, you can have them spell stuff out to coax them along, help them out. So get out there, get a DeLorme. for your region. If they, I don't know if they make them for all of America, but they have them for the West, and I like them. I got to get me some more. Every time I say I'm going to get something, something breaks, and we run out of money. So, but that's on our wish we had list. We talked a little bit about this before. Being able to start a fire without modern technology. I don't care if you've got a warehouse full of matches. You're going to run out eventually. They may be currency, and you're trading your strike anywhere matches, which I've been discovering they don't always strike anywhere. I keep trying to light them on Lou's face, and they don't work.
Strike sometimes.
Strike almost anywhere. Strike somewhere. And but learn how to just take some parachute cord, your shoelace, and make a bow, a fire bow, and start. Why not? Learn how to make crude, primitive weapons once you've made the fire. But let's stick with the fire thing. Learn what materials in your area make the best kindling. Go out and make fire in a windstorm. I think Minuteman was telling me about this. You make fire in the worst possible situations, you'll have a survival confidence when it's optimum and you're making a fire. Work it into your trainings. It was one of the things that I really liked about the last training we had with team tactics, when all of a sudden, out of nowhere, one of the instructors says, and we're doing SWAT training here. He just suddenly says, okay, you have 5 minutes, make a fire. Huh? We removed all the survival gear from our LBEs, load-bearing equipment. Mine was sitting on the back of my vehicle, and we're like, we don't have anything to make a fire. It was pathetic. Nobody even had a lighter. We don't have any smokers in the group. Well, we didn't at that time. We have one now. But it's like, nobody had it. And then after we made the fire, we had to transport it. No math is required for a reverse azimuth, as the reverse of your line of direction is where you're heading the back. Unless you have to communicate it, you know, it's good. It's good to know the math too. Oh, I have to reverse 180 degrees. For some reason, that's how the Army taught us. So I'm going with that, Minuteman. But you're right. Just look backwards on the compass, and you've got your reverse azimuth. But good point. Fire making, fire making, fire making. Cooking over a small fire. We use hobo stoves. We use coffee cans. We cook over them. We just ordered today a bunch of those Swiss volcano stoves where you can cook real fast in them. It's not as cool as the one that we saw. This is like a generic version. We're going to sell for like $15, $20. And it's a column of fire. It heats up real fast. Got a canteen in it. What if you don't have that? How are you going to boil water to purify your water? You've got your fire. Now you got to cook over it. How many people here know how the Native Americans did it? They didn't have pots and pans until after first contact. They wove baskets, put pine pitch in them, whatever they could find. I don't know if they used creosote. Make them so they would hold water, and then they would take rocks. They would create ladles that would carry the hot rocks from the fire and drop it in the water to boil their water. They knew that. That's how they made soup. Now, granted, they didn't always have to purify their water, but that's how they heated their water, so you can do the same. I've done the same in sand. Dug a hole in the sand. This was a training thing I was in. Used plastic lining to make a pit to put water in. Collected my water with a solar still. And then from my fire, put a rock in it to boil it so I could just slurp it. Tastes terrible. Tastes ashy. I mean, that's one of the reasons Indians had such bad teeth, all the everything in the grime and the grit in there. Learn how to do a Dakota hole fire. That's right. Minuteman came up here and taught a class. Look up Dakota hole fire. The difference between a white man fire and an Indian fire is you want to hide the smoke. And it's easier to cook on if your fire is subterranean below, and then all you have to do is support your whatever your water's in. Do you know that you can take a plastic jug, hang it over fire, and boil water in a plastic jug? How many of you have ever tried that? I did it a long time ago. People go, oh, but you're leaching all the chemicals out of the bottle. And first off, you're in a survival situation, drinking water 3 or 4 days out of something. I'm looking on this one to see what grade it is. I can't. Yeah, this is grade one. It's better. But they go, the plastic will burn. Well, you don't put it right in the fire, and the water on the inside dissipates the heat so it doesn't melt. You take an empty bottle and hold it over. Yeah, it'll melt. You can actually boil water in a plastic container if that's all you have. You know, I mean, short of being out in a desert where there's no water and you're only going to live a few minutes anyway, what's the point? But learn these skills. Get books, get training, get manuals. This is the time now. You should have gathered your stuff already. Now I'm talking about training. Things changed after Hutari. See you later. I'll call you when she comes up. Things changed after Hutari. We have to just consider that any moment now, that door is going to get kicked in, and we're going to grab our, you know, get out of dodge bag, or goodie bag, or bug out bag.
Armageddon sack.
Somebody calls Armageddon sack. Is that what you heard? Yeah. And just be ready to survive off the land, because we may not be around all our cash. We may just have what's on our backs because they know what we're doing. You've been infiltrated. You bragged about stuff too much, so they know what you got. So they're going to hit hard and hit fast, and you got to run up in the hills with nothing but your kids and what you got on your back and maybe in a fanny pack like I'm wearing right now, full of survival gear. It's the other thing. Have a survival attitude. Don't go anywhere without these packs. If you can't bring your rucksack into work, bring a fanny pack. Fanny packs look sound too gay to you? You don't want to look like a sodomite or whatever? Yeah, I don't know. I don't care. Survival is more important than that. And bring a Tupperware container. Stick it in one of the drawers of your desk with all the basics. Skills, 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 skills. You should have all your gear now. Don't stop, reaching out for it and trying to find it. I heard one of the best things, the thing that stuck in my head the most, was on a intelligence report, I think it was over a year ago, and they talked about people who repair shoes. Can't push that enough. Learn how to repair shoes. Send one of your guys to community college to learn how to do commercial sewing. That kind of, by hand, not machine driven. I mean, if you can find a manually driven, one of the pedal machines, fine. If you can get the tools to fix shoes, figure out ways. Look at how the Viet Cong would use our old tires and make sandals out of them. That may be all you have. You fight on your feet, and if your feet are destroyed because your shoes wear out, I can tell you right now, every boot that I have wouldn't last a year of full-time use. I just don't have good stuff. I just don't have good equipment. Only Ma, going back to the stove, says solar cookers built with wood, cardboard, and tin foil can boil water. I haven't actually tried to boil water. I have a commercially made solar oven. It gets up to, I don't know what the boiling temperature is of water. You guys remind me there. I always forget this. Not one of my strong points.
100 degrees Celsius.
100 degrees Celsius, but what Fahrenheit?
230, I think.
230 degrees? Okay, thanks, homeschool Lou. Because I know my solar oven, it goes up to 350 degrees. I saw in one of the training videos today that if you take like a clear plastic jug or bag and you put water in it and sit it out in the sun for several hours, that the ultraviolet light will kill the amoebas in it, that'll kill you. At least give you the running trots. I don't know if that's true. That's the first time I've seen that where people have used UV to purify water. Don't know. Study the ways that they used to purify water. What natural plants can be used? How do you make, what's in those little tablets that they give you on your canteen? I mean, what do we got here? Let me pull mine out. I'm wearing my canteen today. I'm wearing my full web gear. The guys from Exeter gave me some web gear, so I put my stuff together. I'm switching from load-bearing vest to going back to the web gear. When I wear the load-bearing vest, all my magazines are in front, and I need to get as prone as I can because I'm a big feller.
I sure are.
I can't. Does this say, what does this say? Tetracycline? Can't be tetracycline, is it? My eyes aren't good enough. And I'm switching back to the old style LBE so I can get my gut on the ground and shoot from the
prone.
Oh well, he can't read it either.
T-T-R-A-G-L-1.
Anyway. Minuteman saying that there's like a survival briefcase that Major sells. That would be cool. Camouflage is everything, folks. You got to blend in where you're at. You don't show up with BDUs and a boonie cap to a Taco Bell unless there's a full-on war going on. And I'm learning a lot from our Serbian listeners. I know they listen at a different time when it's recorded. They listen to the replay. But thank you, guys. I'm getting a lot of good stuff from you, even though I don't understand what you're saying on those videos. Thank you very much for sending them to me. And again, that's kind of what instigated me. I was looking at these videos of just urban warfare that took place in the 90s. And I can tell you, America's not up for it. They're going to die in the droves. There are going to be mass graves in America if this goes the same way that it went in Kosovo. Ethnic cleansing, high ground held by artillery, however it goes. It's going to be bad. And we need to regain these skills. We need to break out the books. Start studying stuff. Somebody said the Encyclopedia of Country Living is a good one. There's one here, book, the Encyclopedia of How Everything Works is a good one that we have. It's just things like shoeing horses. How many people know how to actually string a fence anymore? Fences might come in pretty handy. It means that you don't dress like our common medic commander. That's right, Minuteman. That's an inside joke. My heart is filled with anguish over some of these things, and it gets hard for me to do the show because sometimes I feel like I'm beating my head against a wall. Because and I hate to use it, it's just like locally, I've got a group of people around me that just don't want to take the advice. But I got people in Serbia begging me for videos. It gets very frustrating. But we got to keep doing this. We got to keep going down this road. We got to keep following the path. It was one of the few things that I liked about the movie, The Book of Eli. Stick to the path. Stick to the path. If we keep focusing on surviving whatever anvil they're going to drop on our head, and as many of us can survive and crawl out from under it, then we have a chance at rebuilding. And that's why I focus on these things, the good old pioneer spirit. What did they do? What did they do for wounds back then? You know, you can be the fastest high-speed military-trained medic, but what's going to happen when you run out of all your goodies in your bag? Take your medics, find herbalists in the area, find Native Americans in the area, whatever resources you have, and get them trained, and then have them cross-train others. Look at how they used to pull teeth. We got another copy of Where There Is No Medic, Where There Is No Dentist, Where There Is No Doctor, excuse me. Good books, and we're encouraging people to read them, but nobody jumped up and said, oh, I want to read that. I've already read it. I need to read it again, but there were no newbies. It just went, oh, this is a great resource. It seems like a certain lackadaisical attitude has slipped into a lot of people that I'm talking to. Hey, I got my garage full of MREs. I got 10,000 rounds of ammo. And they may even be good and say, yeah, I go to the gym 5 times a week and I exercise. I can actually carry my ruck. But they're not looking into what's going to happen when they can't trust in chariots and horses and bow and arrows. When we may be driven back to a point where we have to fashion our own weapons. I had a dream the other day. I don't normally get into sharing dreams. I don't want people to think I'm Daniel or something. But I had this dream. All of our people and some of our friends and supporters were there. And we're all in our training area. And we're all sitting down and we're fashioning wood-made weapons, which is something I want to talk about. Clubs, spears, hardening the tips with fire. And we're doing all this work. And I look over and we got one guy that's in our group that's an on-again, off-again patriot. And he's here sometimes. He's a good guy. Doesn't ever take any of the martial training. Shows up for like the search and rescue stuff. Watches the videos after church. I look over and in my dream, he's carving a duck. And I was just like, why are you carving a duck? And he looks up at me and says, because I like ducks. Ducks make me feel good. And that's what's happening in the militia movement. These people are filling their garages full of wooden ducks, things that make them feel good, like a bunch of extra magazines and gas masks. But they're forgetting about the foundational work that will help us survive, having a survival attitude, using your brain, using the skills that existed before there was metallurgy. You know, how did David survive up in those caves? Sure, they had Bronze Age stuff. He didn't have GPS. He didn't have a toaster oven up there when he was hiding out. How did he do it? The weapons. You've got to train your people, and this is what they did in the military, rudimentary weapons. I don't care if it's a rock that you pick up and a lash to a stick. But every multiplier that you add to it, it's just like having a sniper and a company level control. They're a force multiplier. You throw a rock, that does one thing. You throw a rock with a sling, it adds miles per hour and foot-pounds for terminal velocity and all that kind of stuff and impact. You throw a spear with your hand, and it's heavy enough, it can do some good. You convert that to an atlatl. Those of you that don't know, it was a Plains Stone Age weapon used by a paleo man here in America. There's evidence of them on the walls. I don't care about the time frame. Some people say it was tens of thousands of years ago. I don't know. I believe what the Bible says, but they still use them, and I've used them. Atlatls will throw stuff a long, long way. Somebody says they got a good book for survival for the coming dark age. Long-term survival in the coming dark age. I haven't seen that one, if that's the name. Oh, hello. I thought you were Anthea standing up. Welcome. We have another member to our studio audience. And just don't think that if you don't have ammunition, you don't have your Kalashnikov, you're done. You know, you make a 30-pound bow and arrow, what you got, you know, a longbow. Look at what was done in Europe with the longbow. It revolutionized warfare. I mean, prior to that, it was the stirrup. When they learned how to lock their knights onto the horses, give them some leverage, the stirrup. If you've studied military history, you know what I'm talking about. And then later, the longbow, where you could train a common peasant just a few hours a day to practice. It changed warfare in Europe. It was no longer intimate and up close. It was, you know, the peasant can take a knight off a horse in volley fire. Learn how to make a longbow. Learn how to make a spear. Learn how to flint knap and make spearheads. I missed part of the show, but what about knife throwing? Would that be a good thing to learn? You know, when you think about it, making a knife, the amount of energy that goes into making a knife and the utilitarian value of a knife, that wouldn't be my optimum use as throwing it, but as a survival last-ditch thing, why not? I mean, I wouldn't throw... I've got a, you know, an Air Force Survival Ontario-made knife on my belt. I probably wouldn't throw that at anybody unless it was my last weapon, and it wouldn't even matter if the blade hit. The thing's so heavy. But why not practice it? It builds your hand-eye coordination, and if you have to do it. But if I'm going to make a knife, I'm going to make a knife for fighting or for survival. That's why I would make arrows, but making an arrow takes a lot more time, doesn't it? Interesting. That's a good question. Mary asked... My glasses are fogging over. Yeah, Mary asked that. Thank you, Mary. Yeah. Throwing weapons, if you can make them in multitude. Look, one good group to study are the Aborigines. They never advanced past the Stone Age until first contact on their own. For two reasons. One, there was never anything really hard enough to make like an obsidian tip point arrow out of. So all their things were throwing sticks, puncturing, you know, just the wood that was hardened by fire. The second reason is that food was so abundant that they didn't have to. They spent less than 20, I think it was less than 25% of their time obtaining food because Australia was just so rich with food. You just had to know where to find it. It's kind of like the, you know, your stupid depends on where you're standing. An Aborigine would survive there. You drop me in Australia, I'd die. We'll be back after the break. We're going to talk more about survival strategies and what we should still be studying. I'll be back. I promise. Don't cry. I'll be right back after the break.
Fighting side to side together with a fella named of George.
Conditions, the human body will die after 3 days without water. Having access to clean, drinkable water in a disaster, survival situation, or military action is critical when putting together your survival plan and survival kit. Whether you choose to boil, filter, purify, or use some type of chemical treatment, something must be done when planning your survival escape routes and plans and putting together your bug out bag or simply your rucksack. That's why I have chosen to offer Sawyer brand water filters. These filters used in the medical
medical industry for kidney dialysis exceed the needs for water purification. With different units available, the basic unit that you should get will be capable of filtering up to 500 gallons a day and will not need to be replaced until you have surpassed 1 million gallons through that filter. I know that's hard to believe, but it's a fact. They've been using these filters overseas for years in the missionary fields and in post-disaster recovery efforts. The filters are lightweight and simple to use, so whether you attach it to a 5-gallon bucket, to a water bladder, or to a 10,000-gallon tank, these filters can do the job for you. They can handle up to 40 PSI, and with different fittings and ingenuity, you can even apply them to inside, inline water supply systems into your house, cabin, or survival structure. So I'm asking you to go to djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Check out the Sawyer water filters. Order them through us. You will save at least $5 off the retail price of buying them from Sawyer Direct. And as always, the money goes to help the radio ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So, do something right for your family, get them prepared for a disaster or calamity, and you're helping us out. So don't forget, djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Check out the Sawyer brand water filters.
There is rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
For nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel.
We'll put out all points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention.
A new world order.
Attention.
The
government is an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens. What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones. Jones.
Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Greetings, salutations. Welcome to the final half hour of 4 half hours of the 2 hours of the Monday, August 2nd, Dutch Jones radio program. I'm in a little better mood than I was on Friday. I don't know, maybe it's because I'm back up on the mountain and maybe I have no idea what's coming at me. I'm like the bug that's about to get smashed on the windshield. I just know it's coming, but I don't care. We've been talking about skills that we might need to acquire in case we lose everything. And let's say you get chased out of your rat hole and you have to leave everything behind. What kind of skills should we have in our head? Basic survival skills. Just before we went to break, somebody said, what about knife throwing? And just to encapsulate that one, I said, I don't want to throw it. If it's my only knife, I'm not going to throw it unless I have to. But I was thinking about that. Being able to lash my knife to a stick, a stout stick, makes it a little more efficient, doesn't it? Especially if you're fending off against wild animals or, you know, our line of riot police. Having a stick that you can jab, 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 jab. This is one of the tactics. I used to do medieval fighting. I hate to admit that. I was one of those geeks that dressed up in college with the chainmail and everything. And what we would do is we would jab at the guy in front of us over and over and over again repetitively as the call was put out. And then we would pull back and suddenly, without warning, like jab the guy 3 rows down in the side of the head with the spear tip. Now, of course, we were using, you know, blunted objects, but it still rang their bell. And, you know, so it's good to have a knife on the end of a stick. You want to come over here, Anthea? The zombie child's too asleep. What do you have to ask me while I'm on the air that you couldn't have done on the break? What?
The only way to use the bathroom is because the here. It's still filling up for some reason.
Something's wrong with the toilet here? She came over to tell me there's something wrong with the toilet. Is everything okay, Lou?
Yeah.
Everything going good? Will you go fix the toilet for your little sister?
Do what?
I don't know. She says it's... Oh, you don't even know how. Just go...
It keeps filling.
You got to take the back off and put the... Here's some tactical teaching for you. Train your kids how to fix the toilets. Take the lid off, Lou, and then plop the plunger back in the hole. That's all you got to do. Put a little plunger up. You probably used it last, didn't you?
No.
Well, that was a loud noise.
It needs to be tightened.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, you can go down to the house then and use it if you want to. If you don't want to fix it, you know, a little impromptu radio there for you. At least you didn't ask me something incredibly embarrassing. But being able to optimize what you have in your environment is a skill that I think Americans, we're nowhere near that, most people. There's a lot I have to learn. Making simple things like slingshots out of old bike tires. Did that as a kid. Take the rubber inner tube, put it in there. I think that's me. Who keeps calling me while I'm... Could you just let her know that we are on the air? She forgets that we do a radio show every day, and she keeps texting me while I'm on the air. It's too bad she can't hear me in the car. We'll have to work on that someday. I need to get my own transmitter. No, not the plunger. A little plunger in the tank that stops the water from flowing through. It's hung up. It happens all the time. What kind of radio show is this? It's an all-about-everything radio show. Thanks, Pat Fack. And learning to, you know, I know people that they go out and they buy these great big old Rambo knives, but they never take a knife fighting class. I guess they just figure they're just going to scream like a maniac at the enemy and do what they can. What was the message?
She's getting toothpaste.
She's texting. Stacy is texting us that she's purchasing toothpaste. Is that like a code for something I forgot? Is
toothpaste and mouthwash because we need it.
Toothpaste and mouthwash. Is she saying I need mouthwash?
Yeah.
She texts and disses me on the air. Something's wrong here. Every time I touch something, I get a blip. You hear that? Okay, anyway. You may need my machine gun ringtone. That would be good with the show. There you go. Bop, 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 bop in the background. One of the other things that I've liked to look at, and people laugh at this, but nobody knows how long, as somebody said, the coming dark age is going to be. Everybody says, well, I've got wheat stored. I've got wheat. Do you even know how to turn wheat into flour? Some of you may have these great hand mills and stuff. Do you know how to repair that hand mill? Do you have extra parts? Do you have a tinkerer who can fabricate something like that? If not, do you know how the old folks did it? Do you know how to use a couple stones and grind the stuff down? Have you even looked at it? Have you studied the technologies of ancient cultures? And it's so easy because I do it too. You focus on the really cool gadgets that everybody has now. Like we got a wheat grinder that hooks up to a bicycle, and we're going to make Lou ride on it. Period. Lou's just going to, that's what he's going to be doing. Then we're going to hook it up to the battery charger. Lou's going to be on a bike all day long. We're going to have one of those big farmer fat lady seats. So you can just sit there, and we'll put like a giant gerbil watering thing and a Pez dispenser. How's that sound, Lou? And he can just grind all of our red winter wheat. And he can power up all of our batteries for our comm. That's the only thing I want batteries for is comm. The rest of it, I don't know what that is. Are you banging a mic?
No.
Did you hear that one?
Yeah.
Isn't that weird? Okay, don't move. I'm going to wiggle wires until I isolate it. Kind of weird, man. Multiple pulley power takeoffs for Lou's bike. Yeah, he'll be powering everything. We can hook everything up to the bike. Do you have a bike mechanic? I mean, I love the idea of putting little gas engines on bicycles and running them on alcohol fuel. Do you have somebody that knows how to do that stuff? Well, we were talking to people that have been in contact with the Arizona Citizens Militia. The biggest thing they're needing is mechanics. And I don't think anyone out there listening to the sound of my voice doesn't agree with this next statement. A good mechanic is a hard thing to find. And when you do, you hang on to them. I know I got two vehicles down right now, and I really, really, really need a good mechanic in our group. We've got a good shade tree mechanic, but it's just not working out. And we got to keep things going. Exercise bikes, stationary types, are free on Craigslist. That's true. You hook those up to anything. How many people have, I've heard a lot of people say, well, I'm gonna have fruit trees. I'm going to grow fruit trees. Well, anybody that's grown fruit trees is going to know that the birds just destroy them. If you've come up with a mechanism to get rid of the birds, how do they do it in the old days? Did they wrap the trees in heavy netting? Did they keep the kids out there?
Just to get to where they can bear fruit.
Are your fruit trees going to come to fruition when you need them to? You going to rotate them out? What good is it? And then the biggest thing, everybody says, I've got all these seeds. How do you preserve that food? Are you going to eat it all in one big feast and then that's it? You know, you're going to have your own little October festival and then all the food's gone? Do you know how to can stuff? People are throwing away canning equipment. I've seen it by trash cans on the side of the road. We need to be picking that stuff up.
Yeah.
If there's a canning club in your town, you need to learn how to do it. We're fortunate here. All the women know how to do it. A few of the men, I need to learn to do it. We do have FreeCycle, Mary, and I use it for all kinds of stuff. FreeCycle, of course, is on Yahoo Groups. Half the equipment I use is from FreeCycle. Radios, antennas, coaxes, computers. FreeCycle is a good source for that. There's different levels of farming, too, that people forget about. Everybody thinks it's just about plowing a field, putting in rows, and optimizing and leaching out of the soil all the nutrients, because that's really what it is. You're sucking nutrients out of the soil and putting it into a fibrous material that you can chomp on and get it back into your system. It's a closed system we live on. You guys know that. What about agrarian society? What about a hunter-gatherer type technology? A lot of the American Indian tribes, I don't even know what they want to be called, the indigenous savages, plant stuff seasonally because they knew they were going to make a loop in their wandering, in their nomad cycle. Nomad cycle. That sounds like a motorcycle. There's got to be a group called nomads, huh? So have you thought about doing that? Are you planting seeds out there? I mean, so what? The deer are going to eat some of them, but you can show up and you can have some stuff. Have you located wild-growing plants in your area that you can eat? Like, we have a certain season here for a thing called miner's lettuce. Very rich in vitamin C, so you don't get the rickets. And it grows everywhere, and it tastes pretty good. There's a blue flower here that you can pull out of the ground and eat the little root bud, and it's like a nut. And they're seasonal. So why not provoke those into growing everywhere? Right out in the open. People won't even know. Yeah, you can eat the deer while they're coming in to get your garden. That's what we were talking about the other day. We were looking at our garden. We're like, well, we need to string some deer catchers up here. It wouldn't be that hard to snare over the fence. You're luring them in with your fruit tree. Speaking of that, how the fruit trees look today, Lou?
Some of them
are bad?
Yeah.
How the gopher situation doing?
I got one.
You killed a gopher today. How'd you kill the gopher today?
Shovel.
How'd you get it out of the hole?
It was all wet.
Because you were watering?
Yeah.
Did you turn the water off?
He gets an A.
You didn't turn the water off, did you?
I can't remember.
Go check. Last time he watered the trees, he left it on for like a week. It's like... There you go, Lou. He's running out to the garden.
He got a gopher, though, so
he got a gopher. It kind of evens it out.
Yeah.
One gopher's worth a couple mistakes here, because the gophers, you know, you talk about serpents being the curse of mankind.
Evil.
The gophers, I mean, the rattlesnakes warn us. The gophers destroy our food.
Yeah.
So we could do a whole show on what your technology is to get rid of gophers. We have gopher traps. Doesn't work. I poisoned them. That doesn't work. And it's expensive to poison them. When you figure out the yield that you're getting, it just doesn't work. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. But I'm surprised nobody's calling. 559-561-8225. 559-561-8225. What things are you holding on to? What little books do you have that you've taken out and said, hey, this book was written in the 1880s, and I can't find this information anywhere? How to make teas and herbal remedies. I talked about that a little earlier. Those types of books are great.
Hmm? I missed it.
Yeah, well, I didn't go into detail on it. I'm not an herbalist.
I should do it.
Yeah, you should gather some information, and then I could interview you, and you could tell everybody how to make your own, I don't even know what kind of, manzanita tea. Is that what you were saying the other day?
Yeah. Berries.
It's manzanita berries. I've grown up around manzanitas all my life, and I'm walking to a swimming hole, and this lady reaches over and grabs a manzanita berry and starts eating it. And I'm like, I didn't even know they were edible. You know, I like the way they look. I've heard you can make buttons out of the manzanita tree and stuff like that, but I had no idea that you could eat. There's so many things around us. There's a plentiful buffet. But like up here, you pick the wrong thing, a nightshade that looks like a chive or a wild onion will kill you.
Yeah.
Was it on?
Yeah.
At least you admit it. Come sit down. You got to take a beating tonight. Which one? Do you want to do Wing Chun or Savat? How do you want to take your beating tonight for your punishment?
Wing Chun.
Wing Chun? You want to do Wing Chun? Okay, Wing Chun will be your spa tonight. I'll just you'll spar with me. We'll take off our glasses and just go. Home-brewed cider and beer to barter with, Batfag just said. I said earlier, we got to learn how to make stills again. There are medicinal purposes. There are fuel purposes.
That is true.
You got to get that book. Alcohol is a gas.
Thank you.
No, not Wang Chung. Wing Chung. It's not Dance All Day. Politics of Dancing, great song. Wing Chun, the turbo kung fu art. Lou and I are playing with that. Yeah. I slapped him down in the kitchen today, and he was all crying. And then he tried to break my thumb.
Hey.
Yeah. I like 80s bands, Bad Fag. In fact, if we got any 80s, did you find any of the music I downloaded from the 80s? So we can go. Well, we go out on that other song. We go out on our usual song anyway. We'll play it tomorrow. I'll try and find it in there. Everybody's getting into the 80s music thing. I love 80s music. It's part of my homesickness, my going back and dreaming about, you know, thinking things were better than they were. One thing is construction. We're surrounded by oak trees that look like twisted, knotted, crippled hands. Do you have anybody in your group that knows how to take a tree down and turn it into usable lumber? Do you have the tools to do it? Do you have two-man saws? Do you have the ability to make planks? You're not going to be able to go and just go down to Home Depot anymore. Can you make a 2x4? Do you know how to make a nail? Do you know what kind of materials are needed to make nails? You can store all you want. You can have the biggest underground warehouses, but eventually somebody has to remember and learn and actually start making these things again if we're to rebuild. We're not just supposed to go back to the Stone Age here. We're not supposed to just go hide in the hills and wait for the New World Order to come kill us. Don't play with the fan. You're going to chop your fingers off. Thank you. That feels much better pointing it at me. Lou's been having it all day. My turn to get the fan. Yeah, there won't be any eBay to go get your lawn clippers, your pruning shears. You know, one thing I've noticed, people don't know how to peel potatoes anymore. It's a lost art. They hacked them, they can get them off, but they don't know how to. They don't know how to peel a potato anymore. Of course, I keep the rinds on. Scotty38 says, beekeeping and blacksmithing. Those two things alone, you can build a society on. You're going to need beekeeping for having good crops that will last a while. Plus, the honey is God's food. You can live on honey alone, right? I could go on and on. We have some beekeepers that used to come to our church. I don't know why they're not coming anymore, but I learned a lot about it. I used to just never give it a second thought. Didn't realize there's only two plants in California that don't need bees. Because they pollinate through wind and self-cross-pollinate. And that is the olive tree and the grape, the two sacred liquids. Isn't that funny? The two ceremonial liquids that God used in his temple, the wine and the olive oil, don't need bees. So when the bees are dying out here, everybody starts going, hey, maybe we should grow olives. Let's just invent a darn time machine and go back in time to avoid this whole thing. I saw that in a movie, Back to the Future. I just watched like three Back to the Futures the other day.
Aww.
Yeah. I didn't pay like total. I was switching back and forth because they were on commercial TV. But yeah, go back in time and go steal like the guy who invented the cotton gin, Thomas Alva Edison, and get all this stuff reinvented.
Forward, because you just invented a back machine.
Yeah. What if you can? Yeah. Who knows which way you can go in time? You might get stuck. And the Masonic symbol of the beehive. We can't blame the bees. Besides, the beehives don't really look like that. Have you ever seen a beehive that actually look like that? I always see them in white boxes or hanging on a tree. Those are the two, or they're in a house.
Or inside of a tree.
Yeah, or inside of a tree.
And they're, sometimes their hives can be kind of like...
What?
Kind of like... oval.
Yeah, they're like almost heart-shaped.
That's like a
yeah, the state symbol of Utah is a giant beehive. And I saw that giant rock in Utah that looks like a beehive, so I think maybe, you know, that's where it came from. It's like Santa Claus. Coca-Cola decided what Santa Claus looked like, you know? Man, this LBE is digging into my back. I think I gained some weight just sitting here. Gotta loosen it. I can't find the stinking latch. Oh, much better. Little Alice clips were digging into my dimples on my back.
Ouch.
Yeah, I can't scar those dimples. Your mom likes them.
TMI.
Yeah, too much information. Not that part of my back. I have a dimpled spine. I can't help it. Talk about a time machine. Just go to your local library. Start checking out books. Start getting videos on this stuff. Find, you know, everybody focuses on the, you know, unarmed self-defense, knife throwing. Let's get a video on how to use a shotgun. Why doesn't anybody get a good old Amish video on how to raise a barn? You know how useful that would be?
Yeah.
Those of you folks in Ohio and Utah? Ohio and Utah, man. Utah, not Utah. Ohio and Pennsylvania. Forgive me. I was looking at somebody type Utah, and Batfag's trying to get in my head again. Trying to control the show remotely. He's my Manchurian candidate scout coach. There's so much we could learn from the Amish. I mean, I don't like their passivity, but it would be an excellent thing to start collecting those kind of videos. Sure, we just watched the NBC training video, nuclear, biological, and chemical training video from Liberty Tree Radio, and I was thinking, you know, great. Could you imagine, you know, useful stuff? I would love to see a two-disc set on how to raise a barn. How do you make pegs? They didn't use nails. You know, nails came about, you know, later. Yeah. Nails were expensive. They used pegs. Everything fit together like a giant puzzle piece. What kind of skill is that? Goes back to what I was saying about how do you make lumber. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Another thing you're going to need, folks, coast to coast. Utah State Symbol comes from something different. I can tell you later. Oh, okay. Remote viewing, yes. This sounds like we're on Coast to Coast, doesn't it? I love that show. I'm sorry, I don't always like the topics, but I do like the concept of the show. But we cannot stop looking back. We can keep moving forward, but we got to remember where we came from. And this all came from, I don't know if I said it yet, instigated this, was the first or second oldest farm in America up in the Northeast is being sold, and they're not going to produce produce anymore. They're shutting it down. They just can't do it. Their kids don't want to do it. They said it's not financially feasible because of all the regulations. They're being put out of business by Walmart and, you know, all these other farmers markets. Where are our kids going to learn these skills? Now, out here, California, we have FFA, Future Farmers of America. But how are they doing it? They're doing it the modern chemical way. And I'm not knocking them. It's still a good skill to have, and we need more farmers. Yeah, it was 11 generations in New Hampshire that were on the same farm, Batfag. I read that article. I put it out on Facebook. Yeah. In fact, I haven't checked Facebook in a while. I probably got all the listeners over there going, hey, he's ignoring us. He's ignoring us. Let's see what I got here. My fingers are sticky. What's going on? I got one message. One message. Let's see. I don't know what this is. It's probably one of our Nazi listeners. The guy looks like a skinhead. Anyway, how to make a water wheel. Not even to generate electricity, just to drive stuff. Oh, anyone who knows a gentleman by the name of Gregory Petrosky? I have never heard of him. Well, I'm not going to read this on the air because I don't know who he is. So thank you for the email, Sam. But I learned my lesson. I don't just read stuff cold on the air. Gregory Petrosky. Gregory Petrosky, please call the show. 559-561-8225. I want to talk to you about this email I just got. Let's see. What else? I mean, there's got to... Like, I was telling Lewis today, we were watching this training thing, you know, survival thing, and this guy was making a bowl to carry water in, and he was using fire to do it. And I remember when I was about 13 years old for a school project, I made a small boat out of a log by doing that. It took me like 3 weeks to do it. I'd go out there, my dad would be out there with me, and I'd set it, you know, I gouged it out first with what's called an ADAS. It's kind of like a really sharp hoe. It's stiffer. I think when I was a firefighter, they called it a Pulaski. And once I got a little canal driven in this about 8-foot log, I poured hot coals in there from the barbecue and let it burn through, and I kept scratching and scratching. Finally, I made my own boat. I put together a paddle and a push stick, and for my school project, it was for Native American Observation Week or something up in Pembroke, Massachusetts, and I brought it to school. I actually tested it on a pond, and it worked, and it was hard to navigate it because it was more round than it was long. But making animal hide canoes, making dugouts, making reed-woven flotation devices to fish. How many people listening to this audience know how to make a net from raw materials? How many people know how to make a rope? I had this great, I sold it and I shouldn't have because I thought I'd remember it all. It was the, Bushmaster's Guide, and it was an Australian military survival guide. And they spent like 3 chapters on the making, the use, and the preservation of wilderness manufactured rope. You're stretching your sleeve out, Lou, again. Of rope. And these were like big, thick, like fast rappel ropes down to lassos, down to snares. How many people know how to take long blades of grass and actually weave them so they don't come apart? How many people know that? I've practiced it. We got really tall grass right out here. I've made some lengths of rope. I always, you know, make sure that I have parachute cord, 550 cord. But how many people actually know how to make a rope? Ropes are going to come in handy, aren't they? We're going to need a rope for all these politicians.
Yep.
I'm excited about the blacked out vans taking us off to FEMA resorts, guillotines, mass graves, waterboarding rooms. Yeah, that's one route to go. I'd rather not be there when the vans get there, and I'd rather be able to not have to count on anybody else to feed my family. Now, hopefully I'll have a community. Hopefully these people that are around me won't flake out I'm starting to worry about the fortitude of a few people in our group, and I'm sure you all feel that way. I'm fortunate to have a group, but some people, I'm like,
yeah.
What's going to happen when, you know, what did somebody say, when the Schumer hits the fan?
Yeah.
You know, when the balloon goes up, when things start going over, things are getting ugly, who are you going to be able to count on? Are you going to depend on that one guy that learned everything about butchering, but whether through his own actions or inaction, he's not here? What are you going to do? Invoke the Second Amendment when they roll up. Yeah, when the FEMA relocation agents come to your door, just... I don't even want to be there. I want to be up on a hilltop watching the booby traps go off. That's my strategy. Yeah, I said that. I don't like putting booby traps in the woods, but I'll put them in my house if I know they're coming. We can talk all day about that in a full-on war situation. I wouldn't do it in peacetime. But if we had a full-on war, whether it be foreign or domestic, grab my ditty bag, get out of Dodge, my ditty bag, clean pair of socks, you know, and some Pop-Tarts, and head up the hill and watch the explosions. I remember in Patriots when he did that. When he went up on the hill and he was triggering some of them. They weren't booby traps. He had a remote detonating device. What a great plan. I don't want to ruin the book for everybody, but the other guys weren't too smart, were they? How are you going to go? Are you going to go knowing that I can leave everything behind? I can walk naked into the woods like a naked animal and survive? Or are you going to be a panic and just screaming and yelling, saying, oh my God, I have to turn myself in so I get a handful of rice and some clean water for my children? So you can store everything you got. You can buy case after case of MRE. What are you going to do when that runs out? You have a duty as a Christian father, as a Christian man, as a Christian soldier, to prepare your mind as well as your body and your spirit for warfare, for the enemies of Christ. So don't sit here and tell me that you're going to rely on your chariots, you're going to rely on your horses. Look that up. It's in a psalm somewhere. Psalm 91? No, which psalm is that one? Yeah, I got to look it up. I'll have it tomorrow. So, folks, we need your support. We need your support badly. DutchJones.tk. 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 J-O-E-N-S. There's a chip in there. We're going to get some money over to Liberty Tree Radio, and we're dead out. Only $75 donations this month. We need your help. $5 here, $5 there. Everybody helping out. Those thousands of people that are downloading these shows. Kick it in. If you want to keep hearing this information, that's what you got to do. Otherwise, I got to go find a job to pay for this stuff, and I won't be able to put all my effort into it. My job will kill me. Or God will kill me. No, God's not going to kill me. God bless you all and everything you do for the holy cause of liberty. Don't lose faith. Don't lose drive. Network, train, gather, collect. Support one another. Pray for one another. Get on your knees and pray. And Anthea has this to say.
Good night, everyone, and have a good sleep. God bless your family and children.
God bless your family and children. Folks, I'll be back tomorrow. We'll have a break from Liberty Tree Radio, but we'll have another show, more topical stuff, more direct stuff, more modern campfire. Thanks for everything you do, and just remember, I'm here, you're there. Let's work it out together. Let's not try and do this alone. God wants us to fellowship corporately, not in a corporate church, but together. God bless you, and good night.